You are listening to Strategies on Benzinga Radio. I'm Matthew Bosler.
And I'm Luke Levanway.
Now, on the line, we have David Robertson, publisher for the Nilson Report, to give us an update on the payment industry. David, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Patrick. Glad to be here.
Now, the Nilson Report is a monthly publication. It covers payment systems worldwide. David, what's new and exciting this month in the payment industry?
Well, I think the most important thing would be in the U.S., and that is the final decision by the Federal Reserve about pricing related to debit cards. And the question will be what, if any, impact it will have on the consumer.
Right. What is your take on that? That was some pretty big news, especially for credit card companies. We saw their stocks sort of skyrocket that day when that was announced. What is your take on the impact that will have on the consumer?
Well, I really think that it'll have a very limited take on the consumer. I mean, should the original pricing, which was proposed at 12 cents, had taken effect, the opportunity there existed for retailers to pass along some of that savings. I think at the new level, where the savings to the retailers are, less deep, if you will, I think it's likely that they're going to pocket most of that. So I don't think the consumers are going to see that much.
So not that much of a price increase there for consumers.
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind is, on a per transaction basis, you're talking about pennies. So it isn't the kind of thing where you're going to get free gift wrapping or you're going to get an extra large this or a discount, that kind of thing, owing to the fact that the merchant's processing fees were reduced. It's collectively something that the merchants benefit from over the course of a year and cumulatively from all the savings they make on individual transactions. So it is something significant to merchants. To any individual consumer, it's not particularly significant.
Right, right. Do you have a specific take on, the Senator Durbin amendment to try to curtail some of this activity, especially on the part of the banks in sort of how these interchange fees sort of interact?
Well, this does settle the debit question, so it means only that credit might possibly be on the table, though I don't really think there's an appetite in Congress to put this, to put any further downward pressure on financial institutions vis-a-vis card payments. It may yet happen. I think it depends on the view that legislators take toward credit versus debit. I mean, there is a line of thinking that suggests that, payments from a deposit account, a debit card transaction, is a commodity that should be regulated, or at least is in the realm of possibility to be regulated. Whereas credit is, because that's you with a debit card are paying with your money, okay? A credit transaction, 100% of the time you use a real credit card, you're paying with the bank's money. So the question is, how much stomach does a politician have to go in and start to regulate those kinds of transactions?
Right, probably not a whole heck of a lot.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Now, David, something we've been hearing about here at the office lately is cell phone transactions. Now, we're hearing that hardware that enables cell phones to be used as payment devices almost anywhere is coming out soon on the next iPhone, for example. Is that something you could give us some details on?
Yes, it remains to be seen, actually, whether it's going to be on the iPhone. That is, the scuttlebutt is to be out in September. You could look at it the other way around, not by the handset manufacturers, but by the wireless network operators. ISIS is a joint venture that has been formed by Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile here in the States. And they do have pricing power and the ability to impact handset manufacturers and to have those manufacturers put a chip into the card. And on that chip, you could safely secure payment card data. You could also do other things, by the way. The notion of paying with your phone should really be broadened. It won't simply be a payment device. It'll be a commerce device. Information will be exchanged at the point of sale. You'll be able to redeem coupons. You'll be able to have a wallet that has multiple card payments and card products in it and also multiple loyalty programs, perhaps. So you would get an immediate update on your loyalty rewards plan at a particular retailer, for example. This is, though, something that, to keep in mind, it's going to be a while. This is smartphone-based whether it's Android or iPhone or even BlackBerry, I suppose. And so it's going to be a while before there's a critical mass of smartphones in the American public, so that retailers are highly motivated to put in the readers at the point of sale that are required for you to tap your phone on or to wave your phone against, so that data can move from the phone into the reader and back and then back again.
Is that going to be kind of a challenge for these cell phone transaction companies, that before these payment kiosks or whatever the devices get adopted? I mean, how are they going to sort of deal with that transitionary period?
There's a number, you know, proverbially we talk about the chicken and the egg, what needs to come first. This is a particularly complicated area because you not only have the payment provider needing to be involved, but you also have handset manufacturers and the wireless network operators needing to be involved, and they have to have their respective business cases appropriately lined up so that making an investment makes sense. And then there are two consumers, if you will, or two customers, not just the average person making a payment, but also the merchant becomes a customer. So it is really complicated environment. So I don't think that anybody should be thinking that we're going to see mass numbers of transactions generated by cell phones anytime in the next 3 to 5 years, really. It's going to be a while.
Gotcha. And I know you mentioned one of those companies, ISIS. We're wondering, have you ever heard of a company called Pay Anywhere? Now, I understand they are a mobile transaction company. They're based here in Michigan. Does that ring a bell?
I don't know that company. However, you know, in an environment such as the one we're in now, where you have an existing legacy system, and that would be magnetic stripe cards, coming to the end of its life cycle, you're going to have a number of entrepreneurs who kick off good ideas. And that company might very well be one of them. It's certainly not the only company that is a startup that has a solution that may even be a very good one. The question remains, you know, how deep are their pockets? Can they generate scale? You know, how much credibility will they have with a merchant? You're talking about needing to get merchants to participate with a startup, and, you know, there's credibility issues involved. So it's a tall order anytime you're a startup and you're getting involved in an existing system that is not broken. You know, I mean, right now, even though magstripe cards are a legacy and it's old technology, it functions very well, just like, you know, the waning days of check processing. I mean, the systems were in place to make that a very, very efficient way of doing business, notwithstanding the fact that it was fairly archaic technology.
Right. I think, you know, from my understanding, I believe Pay Anywhere is sort of a competitor to Square, the mobile app Square. Are you familiar with that? Like, are you seeing apps like that sort of gaining traction in the payment space? And, you know, what sort of things are those being used for?
Well, there are a number of solutions that exist in the market that involve inserting a device into a smartphone that will allow you to swipe a magnetic stripe card and gather the card data. And then, you know, that same smartphone would also have software in it that would direct that payment data to a processor, making anybody who holds the smartphone a merchant. You still would need a relationship with a financial institution, or maybe you would simply have a relationship with PayPal and be a member of the PayPal family of small merchants, paying them a fee. There are a number of companies that are doing this now. This is not very complicated technology. Again, it is the kind of thing that you see at the end of the life cycle of the legacy system. You know, it's clever. There's an opportunity here to squeeze additional transactions out of the existing system that we have here in the United States of magstripe cards, and it's a way of empowering smaller sellers to allow them to open themselves up to a credit card payment or even a debit card payment. It makes great sense. There's so many companies in this business right now that there's already downward pressure on the fees that these small merchants have to pay. So, you know, overall, it's a very good situation.
David, thanks very much for the insight. That's David Robertson, publisher for the Nielsen Report. Thanks again for coming on the program.
You're welcome, Matthew. Thank you, Luke. Take care.
For Matthew Bosler, I'm Luke LeVanway. You are listening to Strategies on Benzinga Radio.
You've been listening to Strategies on Benzinga Radio. For our complete range of programming, be sure to visit radio.benzinga.com.